Coffee with Kia, episode 7. In my notes, it was like 7. I didn't quite know. You know, there's so many at this point. We're getting confused. And I haven't used the tagline in a minute. So where we spill the beans about all things financial aid.
Oh, I love it.
Here
That's
we are.
Gold.
Although if you're looking at the graphic, it says T because there was a bit of a debate over which it should be. all right, we have an action-packed podcast.
Yes.
And when I say action, I mean like our jaws are going to be getting a lot of action. We don't actually move at all during this podcast.
It's a very stationary podcast.
Very stationary podcast. And we have no guests for you today. You have to listen to us the entire time. So for that, we apologize. We're going to make up for it. But today, we're going to talk about the newest, improvedest student loan repayment plan. We are going to talk about a lot of FAFSA updates, kind of a where we are, you know, catch up. And then we're going to talk about some fun things happening at Kia this spring. So action-packed, all of the exciting information you can barely handle. But first, some coffee talk.
And I got to say, we got to show off our
new
things.
Let's give a shout-out to Zach.
Thank you, Zach. How y'all like this?
If you're listening and not watching, we are holding up the cutest little coffee mugs that say FAFSA, and then they say our name. And our names, we don't have the same name. plural names,
right.
Two different ones. Zach made these for us. Our producer made these for us. I almost cried. I said, can you tell I don't get gifts very often?
It makes the coffee taste better, too.
It does taste better. Yeah. I think that orange paint is leaking into the coffee, and it's just making it taste really good.
Yeah.
It's so good. This is my new favorite thing. I'm like, I kind of want to take it home, but I don't want to forget it the next time we film. So, I love a good coffee mug. So,
oh, yeah.
Shout out to Zach. He's our fave. I mean, he ties for favorite.
He was in second place. Now they're tied.
That's right. Lene may gift my family with a cat. So she'll be right back up in that tie zone. So thank you, Zach. You know that after we record these podcasts, I listen to them over and over until there's a new one that posts. And so as I was listening to the last one, I realized I kept saying public student loan forgiveness.
I didn't even notice, did you?
I did, over and over. And so that's wrong. It's public service loan forgiveness. And it was driving me nuts every time I said it. I was like, oh, it's not the right word. And then we, you know, we did a little, there's a little snippet of episode 6. If you haven't listened to episode 6, you got to go back and listen to it. It is gold. But where I talk about how I thought that the song, No Scrubs? No.
No. Bugaboo.
Bugaboo.
Yeah.
Bugaboo by Destiny's Child. I thought that she was saying, break my knees so I can't move. And she was saying, break my lease so I can move. I thought those were the lyrics. So I thought today's coffee talk should be, Keith, what song lyrics have you misheard your entire life?
I love this one. So I actually have two for you this morning, Cass. One for me and one for my daughter because she's adorable.
I love it.
So why not?
I love it.
So for mine, you all know that song, I can see clearly now, Lorraine is gone. I thought my entire life, and I'm embarrassed to say, it wasn't that long ago that I realized I was wrong. I mean, I was working here at Kia when I realized. I just thought Lorraine just wasn't the right person for this guy, and it was best that they parted ways.
It was a lot of nonverbal communication in his and Lorraine's relationship.
All the obstacles in my way. The biggest one being Lorraine and how she's treated him. So that was mine, is that one. And then,
that's so good.
Yeah, so my daughter, I have a 5-year-old daughter, and I know you and I talk about her a lot, but recently my girls and I have taken up hockey. We've been going to a lot of hockey games lately, and where I live in Cincinnati, they have the Cincinnati Cyclones, which is a minor league hockey team. Well, my 5-year-old daughter, Addie, has the bad combination of mishearing lyrics coupled with her father's confidence in being right. So not only is she incorrect on her lyrics, but she'll argue with you.
She'll fight with you
too.
Over it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that she's got that combo. But anyway, at hockey games, there's this old song called interestingly, the hockey song. Very creative. But it's like it's a very old song from like the late 60s, early 70s, but it's played in a lot of hockey arenas during games at some point.
Okay.
And there's this line in that song that says something about like the crowd roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure they're probably referring to Bobby Orr, who is like a legendary hockey player back in the day.
Okay.
Well, we were driving down the road the other day, and Addie was like, let's listen to the hockey song. And she's like, and I'm singing it as I'm driving, and she's singing, and she's like, Dad, it's not Bobby scores, it's the bunny scores. So she has it in her mind. That's probably the only reason why she likes that song, is that she's built up this image in her mind of a bunch of bunny rabbits playing hockey. So, you know, I didn't have the heart to really fight with her about it, so right. I've let it go.
And now you sing
the bunny scores. Yeah, so I've conceded on that. So we can now put that in my camp of a song that I sing incorrectly. But
love
I don't want to fight with her about it because I'm afraid the magic of hockey will go away.
That's right.
Which means I won't go to as many minor league hockey games in Cincinnati.
Ultimately, it's a selfish concession.
Yeah. I don't want her hope to be dead that one day maybe a team of bunny rabbits will play the Cincinnati Cyclones.
Every time it's she's probably, like, the bunny's going to come this time. Right. He's going to be here.
So those are my two. What you got for us, Cass?
That's so good. Well, you know, in addition to the, you have to tell the story. Hang on. Well, no, maybe you shouldn't tell that story. I was thinking of another Addie story. We'll talk about that. what did she call that football player? She says his name wrong.
Which one?
He has dreads. Does he play for the Bengals?
Oh, Ja'Marr Chase?
No. It's like a very unique name, and she says it wrong, right? Did I make this up?
I don't. I mean, probably
not. How do I know a story about your that you don't know?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah.
I mean, she gets like all of the names wrong, in all honesty.
So you're like all of them. Which one does she say wrong? All of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I know she's a big Joe Burrow fan. She does say that. Yeah.
That's not it. Yeah.
Like, there have been times when Joe Burrow has been injured, and like in her. Like evening prayer,
she'll
include Joe Burrow and like his ankle.
It'll be like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll set up and be like, "This was his name," you know. And I don't know sports, so I can't like.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know.
Yeah,
and remind me.
Yeah. Okay, so in addition to my, why can I never remember who it is or the name of it? Bugaboo, by Destiny's Child, and this was a recent one. So, and I don't know. Like, this is not a song I would ever like listen to. Like. Have on a playlist or like listen to it on, so it must be like in stores or something, you know, it plays and I hear it, and I don't like to sing, but I don't think I could just say it and people will know what it is. So it's the song that goes like, and I miss you like the desert miss the rain.
Yeah,
look, they're like, never heard of it. You know, you
must
not frequent Kohl's. Zach loves Kohl's. He's offended by that. I'll have to play it for you in a second. But so I had to sit and think about it. You saw it. I had to think about it to see which one is the correct one.
Yeah, yeah.
The lyric is, I miss you like the desert missed the rain. I thought it was, and I miss you like the devil's masquerade. Like, of course, I miss you like the devil's masquerade.
The syllables line up. It's enough syllables.
Line up. Like, the devil's masquerade? What is that?
Yeah.
And so I was singing that one day, and I was, like, dating my husband. So it's been within the last 10 years, and he was like, what are you saying? And I said it, and he was like, the lyrics. And I, like, fought him on it until he Googled it, and I was like, okay, I guess it doesn't make sense. Right. Devil's masquerade. So... Okay, Zach has
all
one.
Right, here we go.
Zach has one. We don't give him a mic, so we're going to talk for him.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so Zach says, in the newest Taylor Swift single, Blank Space, that I always, always hear wrong, where Swift sings, got a long list of ex-lovers. For some reason, I mishear all the lonely Starbucks lovers. That's good. That's a good one.
All the lonely Starbucks lovers.
Yep.
I'm going to think of Zach every time I go to Starbucks now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taylor singing about us lonely Starbucks lovers.
Yeah. It's a lonely life.
That's right. We're lonely because we're poor. We spend all of our money at Starbucks. Those are so good. Those are my favorite. It's like people who mishear things. What was it? There's another one. Y'all, I can't. My brain, it doesn't retain much anymore. But one of my friends had a really good one. that, like, we would always make fun of her about, but now I can't remember what it is.
Well, I know in the financial aid world, there are so many acronyms. I mean, there are a million variations of financial aid terms and the FAFSA and things like that. I mean,
yes.
I can probably think in my head of 30 different ways of saying that word.
Yes. I saw a meme the other day about, like, oh, you're one of those people that says FAFSA or FAFSA.
Right.
You know, because it's pronounced FAFSA. It's F-A-F-S-A.
Right.
But a lot of people say FAFSA.
Right.
F-A-S-F-A.
It rolls better that way.
Zach is raising his hand. Yeah. Me, yeah. I say FAFSA. Right. It works phonetically better.
Right.
But it is FAFSA.
Right.
And
yeah.
FAFSA. And so.
Yeah. I'm still giggling about your oyster cracker from last.
I can't get over it, y'all. I cannot get over it. Like, I'm like, I was saying it wrong for so long. And I am, like, one to call people out on stuff like that. Like, I made fun of my dad my whole life because my dad mispronounces everything. And he, like, swears up and down, like, it is pronounced chimney. Like, it absolutely is. He's so adamant. And, like, because I'm, like, point to the L in the word. There's no L in that word. But so then when I was saying something wrong, I thought I was above all that.
Well, I was with, you all got to meet Brandy Forker on last episode,
right.
Her and Brandon Brown, and we had that conversation about Skyline Oyster Crackers.
Yes.
Well, she was feeling under the weather, so I brought her 5 packs of oyster crackers.
Are
when
you
I saw
saying
her.
Oyster?
No, I did just to make
fun of
you. I was
going to say, you're making fun of me.
But no, I
brought her chimney crackers.
To help her get to the finish line of whatever's been ailing her, so.
She did. She sent me a picture of her, like, eating her oyster crackers.
Oh, there you go.
And I've been, like, practicing it. I was, like, putting my kids' clothes away the other day, and I was like, oyster, oyster. It feels real weird to say it like that. Okay. So I wanted to take a moment, again, throwing it back to episode 6. Such a good episode, y'all. Yeah. If you haven't watched it, listened to it, memorized it, you should do that. We talked a lot about public student loan. There it is. Public service loan forgiveness. And then I also wanted to bring up that you caught on to your...
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, you knew I was going to bring it up. What does Key say? Let me poll our producers and see if they can nail this. What does Keith say a lot? It's a phrase on our podcast.
It's a bad cliche.
We do say we're old.
Yeah.
We do. We're always like, yeah, we're old.
Yeah.
No, this is like a catchphrase. Like a transitionary phrase.
I counted like 13 of them in the last episode.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day. Yeah.
And so I was thinking, I was like, you know, that's our next podcast is going to be called At the End of the Day.
Right.
And it's not, I don't think we can brand it with Kia because it's going to be a very different podcast. It's going to have a very different tone. And it is going to be us at the end of a long day of work. Yeah. Venting about all the things that happened at work that day. And it's going to be called At the End of the Day.
I love it.
Again, won't be Kia associated because we want to keep our job. We will have to, like, very different tone on that one. Very different. We won't be drinking coffee. That's for sure. Okay. We will be drinking soda.
That's right. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. So anyways. We talked about public service loan forgiveness, and so I noticed on my social media pages, my personal ones, a lot of my friends also are getting their loans forgiven. I did get confirmation. I have a zero balance. My loan's officially been forgiven. So how much?
I got mine, too. So
I was going to say, do you know how much you had forgiven?
About 40 grand.
Same. Okay, so about you're looking at $80,000 right here that was washed clean.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge burden. Off your shoulders.
Yes.
And yeah, it's a great feeling. You see that zero balance. And you know, we had a staff meeting a couple weeks back and we talked about public service loan forgiveness. And we have a couple other staff members who are also at that finish line part. And it's just so exciting when they see that message and they see, you know, that $0 balance. It's,
exactly. Yeah, and you feel like you're going to be rich, but then you still wake up the next day and you're poor. So I don't know how that part works. But on Facebook, as people post like, oh, my loans were forgiven or whatever, there seem to be very mixed opinions about public service loan forgiveness. And I think the dissenting opinion is like, well, you should pay your loans. Like, you took out these loans. And I know when all of the loan forgiveness was, you know, like in legislation and being proposed and everything. Lots of people came out like you should pay your own bills, you should pay off your debts, and it's not right for the government to forgive it or to pay it, or you know, that money, where does that money come from? And I don't want to get political by any means, because you know, I mean, there is a fiscal impact here. You know, I mean, at this point, they're saying that Biden has forgiven $138 billion of student loan debt. There's a fiscal impact,
Sure.
you know, so I'm not going to deny that there's a fiscal impact there. But I want people to understand the climate that we lived through back when we took out our loans. So back, you know, it was a different century back then. Back when I went to college, there was a lot of predatory lending happening. So there was a lot of, you know, it just showed up on your package and you weren't really explained, like, you know, this is what it is. This is how you pay it back. There wasn't a lot of counseling around it. I remember like thinking that my school essentially was free because I didn't pay anything out of pocket. But if you go back and look at my award letter, I had loans, you know, I don't think there was significant counseling involved where at least Kia, we counsel our students on the, you know, the undertaking and the responsibility that comes with student loan debt. So there was that. Then there was a lot of predatory lending. You know, and again, I'm not going to get political, I'm not going to get on a soapbox, but just in general, you don't have to qualify for government student loans. You don't have to qualify for those. So you could be someone who just doesn't have the means to pay them back, and you're still going to get them. And you're still going to get a significant amount. And then if your family even is in a place where you're not able to take it, they're not able, your parents aren't able to take out loans for you, okay, we're going to give you even more. You know, we're going to load this kid up with all this loan debt, when they don't even really understand the concept of loans and repayment and your income matching, you know, your education loan debt and all of that stuff. So all of that was happening on the front end when you were being awarded your loans, being given your loans. And then on the back end, we were kind of promised this public service loan forgiveness. And I remember when I signed up for it, I think I worked at Kia, but I've been in nonprofit my whole career. And so I had a lot of, you know, and then also I had graduate school debt as well. So when I signed up for it, they looked at everything and they said, well, you don't qualify for any months of qualified payments because you've never been on an income-driven repayment plan. Okay, and so that income-driven repayment plan is the lesser, you know, you can pay less based on your income being lower. And so because I had paid my full amount, and at that point when public service loan forgiveness came about and I applied, I'd been paying for quite a long time. I mean, I graduated from college a long time ago. It was a long time. And so it was kind of like, oh, well, that stinks. Like that we have the promise of this public service loan forgiveness. And, you know, I don't qualify because I was paying my loan. I was paying my bills. And so then you have kind of like the third portion of that. So you have like the lending that was shrouded in confusion, I feel. Like, I don't want to always use the word predatory, but shrouded in confusion. Then you had the promise of public service loan forgiveness that didn't quite add up to what they were promising you. Then you had this third thing happening of interest capitalization. And basically, the fact that your loans were growing, if you took out your loans back when we took ours out, your loans were growing faster than you could pay them. And so I distinctly remember a phone call. My brother's, he's a year older than me, but he graduated a couple of years behind me from college. I distinctly remember a phone call where he had logged in to, back then it was NSLDS, and looked at his loans. And he said, I don't understand how I, one of our producers is trying to kill me. She tried to push a light over on my head. I have a lot of product in this hair. You can't tell. I still look like Simba from The Lion King. There's like a drop of water in the air, and I'm like, hey, Topanga, and so I would have just I would have lit up like a Christmas tree, like that cat in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's why Zach is my favorite. Cheers. Oh, now he's trying to kill Keith. Oh. y'all were falling apart real fast here.
Yeah.
We got lights falling everywhere.
Yeah. In their defense, we're in a much smaller location
today.
It's
teeny tiny. So our studio at the Frankfurt office is this little room, which is why I'm always so sweaty. It's so hot in here. But we're in this little room. And then if we have multiple guests or even one guest, we can't fit in. We can't be, like, four is the max. This room, like, there's a number four on the door. Like, capacity of this room is four. And any more than that is a fire hazard and probably, like, a human health issue. And five lights. Five hot lights that could fall at any moment. But we move into an executive office if we have more than one, and it's so nice and roomy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I can like move my arm and not worry about elbowing Keith in the face. So what were we talking about? Okay. Interest.
Yeah.
So our interest was growing quicker than we could pay it off. My brother called me. He said, I don't understand. I've been graduated from college for like 9 years. I borrowed $19,000. I've paid exactly what I owe every single month without fail. I just checked, and this was like 9 years into the life of his repayment. He said, I just checked my balance, and it's $21,000.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the name of the game back then. Like, it was, there was just this, like, sense of, like.
Like, one step forward, two steps back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like your student loans are going to outlive you. Like, that was, like, the thing. Oh, well, everyone's going to be paying off student loans until they die. Like, no big deal. And that was the culture, you know? And so when you say, like, no, we shouldn't do loan forgiveness because people need to be paying their own bills and paying off their own debt, we have. Mm-hmm. Like, we did, and we have. But because of the structure of student loans, it was like a never-ending cycle. It was a no-win situation. Like, we would still be paying on it, you know? And I remember I was like I went to a private liberal arts college, but then I went into the helping industry. I went into higher education. My student loan payment was $400 a month. Mm-hmm. You know, back when my rent was $600 a month for a really nice apartment, you know?
Yeah.
So it was setting these students up to fail. And, you know, we have to go back to also, especially the loans that are given now, are given by the government. They're guaranteed by the government. So when you pay your interest and you pay it back, the government is profiting off of that loan. You know, do we really need and again, I think this is maybe even a little too political, but do we need the United States profiting off the backs of our students? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And so... So I'm all for public service student loan for public service loan forgiveness, especially because also we're public servants.
Sure.
You know, we're working in the nonprofit sector. We're not financial advisors who are making six figures. Like, we have agreed to take lesser salaries to be in the helping industry, to be not for profit.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at PSLF is it's like an arrangement that, you know, if you give back and you serve, you know, the country, state, local government, whatever it is, in return, you get that additional help with your
student
loan.
Absolutely. The same thing as the military.
Sure.
The same thing as a military education benefit or forgiveness or something like that. It's in
so it's not just like, you know, wiping it clean. It's an arrangement to, you know, fulfill this need that you know, the government or a nonprofit has, and in return, you know, you get that extra assistance.
Absolutely. So. And so I just feel like a lot of times when people are saying those things about like, well, I'm not for loan forgiveness because people need to pay their own debts and, you know, whatever their argument is, I just want to make sure people understand the whole picture here, that there's more to it than just I ran up my credit card and now I want someone else to pay it off. Like, it's definitely not that. Teachers, yes. So Zach is bringing up a good point that teachers qualify for the TSLF, which is the Teacher Student Loan Forgiveness. And that is, you know, they're public servants.
Right.
They've agreed to work in an industry. They're not getting rich off of their teaching jobs. Mm-hmm. And so in exchange, they get a portion of their loans forgiven. And I think, you know, I'm all for it. I don't know if that's too political to say, but I'm all for it.
Right. And I will say, you know, if you are a teacher listening to this today, remember, you know, you bring up a good point about the TSLF versus PSLF. So these are two different programs. So if you're a teacher, technically you could qualify for either one. So, if you go to studentaid.gov and you look at the differences between the two, it's super important that you do take the time to look through what the differences are.
Yes.
Because there are some strings attached to the TSLF program that are not necessarily with the PL, with the public service loan forgiveness. So if you're a teacher working for like a public school district or a nonprofit organization, then you may want to still consider the PSLF version,
right,
depending on your situation.
Right, because there's a cap on the TSL, yeah. Teacher, mm-hmm. TSLF. There's a cap on that, right?
Yeah, there are. And there are certain eligibility requirements that are not a part of the public service loan forgiveness. So I would recommend anyone who is at that fork in the road, go to studentaid.gov. They have some great information on there to be able to point you in the right direction on what might be the better route to explore.
Right.
The other thing I think worth mentioning about student loan debt is if you are a borrower of student loans and you're struggling with your payment, take mm-hmm. PSLF out the window. Even if you work in the private sector, if you're struggling with maintaining that monthly loan payment, the best thing that you can do is reach out to your loan servicer and just basically get an idea for what those options are. You would be shocked at how many different payment plans are available,
yes.
How much assistance programs can go in there. I know we talked to our loan department here, you know, with Keyslick and ARC now that basically we're able to do all kinds of different setups where they make a call, and even folks who may be in default
yep.
with loans, the best thing you can do is open that communication with your loan servicer and just ask about what the options are.
Yes.
I know I've heard of folks over the years who have been in pretty rough situations with their loans who may feel like they're out of options or whatever, or they're in default, and they were able to set up different payment plans, sometimes really, really low payment plans, just to get them in good standing and get them back on track to be able to get that debt, you know, eventually wiped clean.
Yes, they do work with you. Like
yeah.
that's, you know, I think that's a common misconception. You know, no one wants to call their creditors back, but when it comes to a student loan, it's very different. There's so mm-hmm. many options. And Keith, fantastic segue. Talk to us about the newest loan repayment option, the SAVE plan. Do we know what that stands for?
Ooh, I should have probably
looked
that one up. Yeah.
Okay,
so
our producers are on that.
Yeah, so the SAVE plan is the new kid on the block when it comes to paying your loans back. It's pretty exciting. It's very similar to the previous income-based repayment programs.
Right.
You know, you may have seen that Pay As You Earn.
Mm-hmm. Repay.
Yeah, which is the revised Pay As You Earn setup. But here's the best way I can describe it is that it's that, but they've added some extra layers of protection for borrowers. And looks like we've got breaking news here, folks. This is really exciting stuff. So SAVE stands for the Saving on a Valuable Education Plan.
There you go.
Love
there
it.
You go.
Thank you,
Love
Zach.
It. Who came up with that one?
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's pretty creative
it's
stuff.
Fine.
But anyway, so the biggest thing about it is compared to some of these other income-driven repayment plans that have been around for a while mm-hmm. through student aid is that it protects a higher percentage of your income. So the best way I can describe it in simple terms is that, you know, they are, when they're looking at what your monthly payment would be under the SAVE plan,
right?
They're only going to look at a sliver of your income.
Yeah. Calling that discretionary income,
correct.
Right? And so that is, because one of our counselors asked, like, what does discretionary income mean?
Yeah.
It is what you have available to you after your bills are paid, essentially, mm-hmm. right?
And the way that they calculate that, they look at poverty charts, they
yep.
look at family size, and it's a certain percentage above that that would be considered discretionary income. The way that this SAVE plan works is that a bigger chunk of your income is protected or thrown out of the equation. So that typically for most people will result in lower monthly payments.
Yes.
The other huge development with this new SAVE plan is that there is a forgiveness element to it as well. And it's not
totally
as long
separate
and drawn
from public service.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. So you don't necessarily have to work in the public sector. You can work even for a private corporation, for instance, and still be eligible to get a portion of your loans forgiven after a shorter amount of time.
Nice.
So some of the old income-driven repayment plans used to have a forgiveness piece, but it was after like 25 years
yep.
of making loan payments, which is a really long time.
Yes.
It's going to shorten that window of time before you get a chunk of that potentially forgiven. And then coming in July, there's going to be some huge updates involving this SAVE plan. The biggest thing is, you know, that calculation that we keep talking about right now, I believe, is at 10% of that discretionary
yep.
income.
Mm-hmm.
Come July, it's actually going to get cut down to 5%. So it's going to even, you know, potentially cut your bills close in half
right.
Each month. So that's some pretty exciting stuff if you are in that save plan. Let's say you are a loan borrower. You're making your loan payments right now, and they're government loans. That is important to remember.
Right.
Save plan is, we're only talking about government loans. If you have something through a bank or any private lender, this is
right.
not
And if you have,
bad.
Like, old loans, you know,
yeah.
CASI style, your PSL, I mean, your FFELP
loans,
right?
I had them, and then I did a consolidation loan.
Right, okay. So, yeah, if you're on those old loans, mm-hmm. and you have to, like, you know, okay, I need to... I want to get in on some of this. You can consolidate under the federal loans, the federal direct.
And that would be step one, is you go to studentaid.gov and you can consolidate into what they call a direct loan.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, that's when you'll have all of these different repayment options to choose from. And I will say studentaid.gov is really good about, on their website, kind of walking you through what
right.
that would actually come out to in your personal situation. It looks at, like, your tax and income information.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be like, okay, under this repayment plan, this is what the estimated monthly payment would be and how long you would pay it. Under this one, it would be that. For a majority of instances, that save plan is going to be probably the cheaper route to go.
Yes, definitely. I just actually did this for my brother. I asked him, I said, are you on the save plan? He was like, I think so. And I was like, well, let me just... I hope the federal government isn't listening to this podcast. Let me just log into your accounts and see what we got going on. And he had consolidated. And so he was
yeah.
under the direct loans. He had done a few steps of public service loan forgiveness, but not all of them. And then I actually got him on the save plan. His payment went down $100 a month
wow.
on the save plan. And then, like you said, again, in July, it's going to go down even lower than that.
So again, check out studentaid.gov. They have a lot of information about this new save plan and how it compares to maybe what you're currently in. But that would be the first step, is go to studentaid.gov. If you're not sure who your loan servicer is, you'll be able to get all of that information
yep.
that you need on that website, and it'll walk you through it. I will say, I feel like studentaid.gov, in this regard, you know, we talk a lot about the FAFSA issues.
Right.
But I will say this, when it comes to the loan stuff and the PSLF, it's light years ahead of what it was
Agreed.
5 to 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
It really does
it's
walk
light years
through.
Ahead of where it was in October, even,
yeah.
I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just very, that PSLF
help tool. Yeah.
Just the ease of being able to, like, click on, okay, I want to look at, you know, repayment plans. Like, it's mm-hmm. just very user-friendly in terms of the loan.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago for the public service loan forgiveness. It was like a PDF you had to print out. It was all paper-based and stuff. Well,
yes.
This help tool... I mean, it even estimates it, you know, and I know we work in financial aid every day, but the average person, when they're on this process, it's like 30 minutes and, you know,
right.
to get through what you need to
yeah.
and be well on your way for the PSLF.
I did my brother's for my car.
There
I was sitting
go.
In my
yeah.
car waiting mm-hmm. on something and
yeah.
took care of it. So, all right, we are going to take a quick break. We are going to hear from our sponsors. Keith and I are going to go to a meeting or two. And then we're going to come back. We may or may not have coffee left at that point. When we come back, we're going to talk about some FAFSA updates and some exciting initiatives happening in the spring of 2024 here at Kia. So thank you for sticking with us through the first third of this podcast. Stick with us for the next 2 hours.
Do you need help paying for college? Your first step is completing a FAFSA, free application for federal student aid. The 24-25 FAFSA will be available in late December 2023 and is more user-friendly. More students will be eligible for aid than ever before. Kia counselors and others are ready to help you. You're not in this alone. For more information, use the QR code or text money to 800-928-8926. Or you can visit gearupky.org/money.
That's pretty good.
All right. Did I just do that thing that the kids do?
Yeah.
What's that called?
I mean,
you mean a dab?
Dab.
Yes.
That's what it's
you
called.
Mean us kids.
And you didn't do it right.
That doesn't shock me.
Youngsters.
You youngsters today and you're dapping. And we're back. Thank you to our sponsors, Kia and Kia.
Yep.
We are back with some FAFSA updates. You know you missed them. You know you want more. You know it's never going to stop changing.
Yep.
All right, Keith. We're in a good place with the number of FAFSAs that have been filed. Word on the street is
over 5 million. It's a good chunk of FAFSAs from
basically
the end of December through end of February.
End of February.
Yeah.
Tell me,
solid.
Of those 5 million, how many have been processed?
Big fat zero.
Zero.
Well, I take that back. At least they are starting to do some testing of
it,
but
it's
last week. But
they're
not like
processing real FAFSAs.
Right, exactly.
Test FAFSAs.
Yeah. So we're getting very, very close.
Yes. Yes, we do have, they have released 100 test ICERs.
Right.
So for those of you who don't come from the financial aid office world, we can tell you nothing. Because only financial aid officers should know that information. If you don't come from the financial aid officer world, there is like an inbox.
Right.
Okay. And it's called the Student Aid Internet Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Internet Gateway, the SAIG for short. And that's where FSA delivers ICERs to institutions, to colleges.
And it's important to note, like, what an ICER means.
Yeah.
So it's essentially, you fill out your FAFSA on the front end, and when you hit that submit button, right now everyone's is in this weird, like, limbo in review stage or processing stage. Eventually, when they release these, from the college's standpoint, that transaction that they get from your FAFSA is what they call an ICER. But that's what they see, but it's essentially all of your information from a FAFSA. So in layman's terms, it just means your FAFSA gets to where it needs to go.
Right. We see a FAFSA. On the user end,
yeah.
Institutions see an ICER on their end.
Correct.
Same information, just called two different things.
Mm-hmm.
I just had it. What it meant, institutional student information record.
Impressive.
Ba-ding, the more you know. So 100 test ICERs went into the institution's Student Aid Internet Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
To ensure that all systems are set up correctly. And what I was hearing even on, I don't remember what it was. I was on some call or webinar or podcast or forum or something. And there are even like a percentage of colleges in the United States that don't even have their internet gateway set up. And so like they're trying to work out all, because this is new. This SAIG is a new way to receive ICERs. It was always like an inbox before, but it's a different inbox now. And so all of these hurdles on the college end to clean up before actual ICERs get dropped, potentially mid-March. Okay, so we're filming today on March 7th.
Yeah.
About a week is what we have until we're officially considered in mid-March.
Right. Can I say some unofficial, like, just connecting my own dots here?
Yes.
Okay, so... Today's Thursday.
You might need to mute his
mic. What'd
you
say it was? Yeah. Today's March 7th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they sent out that notification, Federal Student Aid did, that says on March 8th, they're going to be down for, like, basically scheduled site maintenance for, like, from, like, 3 a.m. till noon tomorrow, meaning on March 8th.
You're getting ready to blow our minds.
I'm just wondering, could they potentially be doing something for that site maintenance that we, I don't know, have been waiting for a couple months?
Wow, Keith.
I don't know.
That's
no
really
one has
astute.
Told me anything. I'm just wondering, you know, just given the time frame and
but we've done this long enough that we can kind of figure things out like that. Am I doing something? Am I all over? You're playing music? Oh, conspiracy theory music.
Yeah.
We are FAFSA conspiracy theorists.
Oh, yeah.
Because, need I remind you, we said, we predicted so much of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to waive and relax verification.
Yep.
Check. It's not going to be out until late December, if not January 1st.
Yeah.
Check, check. We predicted that the letter of the law was that the form had to be available.
Mm-hmm.
Processing did not have to happen.
Yeah.
And so we predicted they would delay processing. Check, check, check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your prediction is tomorrow.
Whoa.
Okay, let's pump
the brakes here, Cass.
I really love a good conspiracy theory.
I just think that I have a feeling that that may be what they're working on. I'm not going to say it's going to get resolved by noon tomorrow.
Okay,
I just
so
feel
you
like,
think they're working on what specifically? Tell me.
I think that what they're working on is getting whatever they need to do on their tech side ready to be sent to the colleges. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I don't know. There's enough to work on, though, in terms of just straight up glitches on the FAFSA. So
true.
It could just
I
be that.
I don't know if maybe when you said your koi, you know, are they working on something we're waiting on? I don't know if maybe you meant like parents with no socials.
Could be that.
Okay.
I don't know.
But I think you might be more on the money.
Yeah, I'm just
if they've
wondering.
Got it, if they, at this point, how many times have they delayed us?
Right.
And they keep on pushing it back. I lean toward them making that priority over almost anything else.
And remember that it checks out time frame wise because, you know, we've talked about the issue with undocumented parents not being able to set up these FSA IDs as originally planned the way that it was supposed to be. Remember, the estimated time frame for that is the same estimated time frame as releasing these ICERs to the colleges. So mid-March. I don't know. It checks out to me.
Right. And also, students should be able to fix errors and make updates come mid-March.
Yeah.
They may have to pull the form down to make that a possibility.
All I'm saying is, at the end of the day, Cass, I feel like...
At the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty impressive. We got all the way to this part.
I know, right? How many minutes in?
Yeah. So I just feel like usually when it's down for like site maintenance, it's like a couple hours.
Yeah.
It's a big chunk of time
from
3 a.m. till noon, you know, the next day. That's
right.
A good chunk of time for them to be tinkering with things.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think you're onto something. Okay, so my next question, did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself? No, I'm joking. Don't answer that. We need to live. We have children. And we know that all the big dogs in the world listen to Coffee with Kia. So don't answer that. No, I like it. I think you're on to something. So one thing we do know, they have provided clarification. ICERS will roll out first in, first out on kind of a batch basis.
Yeah.
So the first ICERS that a college or university is going to see are going to be the ones submitted December, January.
Right.
Then the other thing they've told us is there is a rolling process to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
Paper FAFSAs will be processed after all online ICERS. So what that means is if Keith Ritchie filed his FAFSA December 30th, via a paper FAFSA. I don't even know if paper FAFSAs existed on December 30th. But hypothetically, do you know what that means? It means didn't really happen. I just watched that episode of The Office.
Nice. Yeah.
Last night. So if you filed your paper FAFSA December 30th when it opened, and you dated it December 30th, and you mailed it in, and I filed mine online December 30th, mine will be processed mid-March.
Mm-hmm.
Yours?
Well, I even read
question mark.
Even beyond that, take that same example. You file a paper FAFSA on December 30th, and someone else files it on February 1st. I could see that potentially going through quicker than the paper route.
So wait a second. Reverse. Back up. Reverse it.
I'm just saying, like,
I don't get it.
So in general, you know, we've been hesitant to tell folks to go the paper route, right?
Since
the start of this. I just wonder if you, like when they say that they're going to process the electronic version of the FAFSA before paper.
Right.
What I'm curious is, that makes sense if they both did it on December 30th. What I'm asking, if paper was filed on December 30th.
Yep.
Online version was January 15th.
Two different people.
Yes. Are we going with the electronic version on January 15th before the December 30th paper FAFSA?
Yes, absolutely. They're processing
so
all
of them. So basically, didn't really, if you went the paper route because of having tech glitches, it doesn't really save you a whole lot of time. As frustrating as the online form is, it still seems like it's better to wait it out, to keep trying to call federal student aid, to keep getting what you can to make that progress toward the finish line of the electronic version of the FAFSA.
Absolutely. They even said, they went so far as to say, if I filed January 15th via paper, and then today I said, I'm sick of waiting, and I filed electronically today, same person.
Yeah.
And I can do that because the paper copy, there's really no record of that at this point. Mm-hmm. My electronic version will be processed first and given priority over that paper I filed 2 months ago.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, do with that what you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely recommend if you haven't gone, if you're able to file electronically and you haven't, do that.
And that's been our advice from day
all
one.
Yeah.
If you are able to do the online, and there are going to be some situations where that's just not going to work out, and you're going to have to go the paper route, and I get that, and I'm glad, I'm thankful that we have that as a fallback,
right. But
it still seems, you know, if you're on that fence, like, I'm really getting frustrated with how long this is taking on the online stuff, or something's just not working, it just seems like, in the long run, it'll be a quicker route to get where you need to go by staying the course on the online version.
Right. So. And I did just want to, I feel like we have addressed this before, but I do think this should be something we scream from the rooftops and we spread far and wide. If you see in review on your electronic FAFSA, you're in a good place.
Yeah. So another update from Federal Student Aid that came out recently in the last few days. If you remember hearing Cassie and I, probably in the first episode, you know, leading up to the opening of the 24-25 FAFSA.
When we knew nothing, as opposed to slightly more than nothing.
Or if you saw us on our tour across Kentucky giving these trainings throughout the fall.
Yes.
You heard us talking about the feds mentioning they were going to be a lot more strict about this 45-day window.
Yes.
Like if you started the FAFSA as a student and you get to that parent part where you're inviting your parent, basically you had a 45-day clock to get parents to make progress on that FAFSA. Otherwise, that transaction was going to get wiped clean and you're going to have to just start over at that point. They did announce a couple days ago that they're going to relax that.
Yep.
And I think that's huge given all of the issues that folks have experienced setting up their FSA, their federal student aid accounts, setting
signature
up getting
issues.
Anywhere through it. Yeah, so I think that that's a huge burden lifted off of families who have been in this caught up in the middle of like a halfway done FAFSA.
Right, FAFSA
so
purgatory.
At least that 45-day window is open, and now they're going to be more flexible about that. So I think that's a great update.
I think that's a great update. I was just, you guys know Brandy. I was just with Brandy. You've met her, episode 6. Have we mentioned episode 6? I was just with her last week, and she, we were talking about this student who was in there seeking our help, and I mean, glitch upon glitch upon glitch, glitches I've never even seen, glitches be glitching, all the glitches. And Brandy, and I would call Brandy over because she's in the field all the time, and I'd say, what is this? And she'd be like, I've never seen that before. So I was really kind of like, you know, rocking the boat. Just my presence was affecting the FAFSA functioning.
It's impressive.
I have a lot of power. I don't know if you've heard that.
From you, yeah.
the only one who thinks so. No, I'm very aware of my lack of power, Keith. both at work and at home. My kids just run right over me.
We do the best we can, right?
Do what?
We do the best we can.
We do the best we can. We do the best we can. But we're seeing lots of glitches, and this student was saying, well, we did this January like 7th or something, and Brandy and I were sitting there and we were like, is this a result of the 45-day deletion period? Because at this point, we're 45 days out. Mm-hmm. You know, we could be potentially seeing FAFSAs being deleted at this point because of inaction, but not because the students weren't doing anything, but because of the glitches and the delays in processing. And so to hear, we don't have to worry about that. They're going to remove that stressor from us, from the families, from the students, from the college access professionals. Amazing news.
Could you imagine how frustrating that would be if you've been fighting through this, you get to that 45-day mark, and then it's like, sorry, folks, we got to start over, you know? It'd be horrible.
It would be horrible.
Yeah.
It would be horrible.
I was very happy to see that update this week.
I agree. So on Tuesday, so currently we're filming this Thursday, March 7th. On Tuesday, the Department of Ed came out with some news where they said, okay, this was all new with the 24-25 FAFSA. You no longer have an EFC, you have an SAI, Student Aid Index. The floor is no longer zero. The floor is -1500. So this is the lowest it can go on the SAI scale. However, the Department of Ed came out Tuesday and said, we've removed the -1500 floor. So now it can go even lower. Your SAI can go even lower than -1500. Now, moment of truth, we didn't even know what to do with a -1500 SAI. I mean, we knew it, in our brains, it made sense to treat it the same way we treat a zero EFC. You know, that's the floor. That's the lowest it can possibly go. So they removed that floor and said now it can be as negative as you want it to be. It can go even lower than -1500. Doing that resulted in with a floor of negative 1,500 SAI, the projection was 5.2 million students eligible for a full Pell or for Pell Grant in general. I don't know if full Pell, but eligible for Pell. When they removed that floor, that number rose to 7.3 million. So an extra 2 million people now additionally eligible for Pell who wouldn't have been on the negative 1,500 scale. And just like that, a continuing resolution was filed the next day, I believe, to replace the negative $1,500, or negative $1,500, no, negative $1,500 SAI floor. So this continuing resolution hasn't passed. We don't know anything about its movement at this point, but it has been filed to replace that negative $1,500 floor for the 24-25 FAFSA. And for the 25-26 FAFSA next year, put it back to zero. So with the new calculations, I mean, it's going to restrict eligibility for these that we've just increased it for. And then I feel like next year, even more so restricted.
Yeah, I would think so. And it did seem like just some of the articles about it, it made a lot of reference to budgetary restrictions with expanded Pell Grant eligibility and things
because
like
we're
that.
At this point we will have a Pell shortfall based on the current no SAI floor.
Right.
And this is the first time in a long time that we've had a Pell shortfall. And it, just to give you a little bit of background on Pell, it's what we call an entitlement fund. Anyone that's eligible for it gets it. There's no, like, if we run out of money. You don't run out of Pell because it's an entitlement fund.
It's like the direct opposite of how we handle state aid here in Kentucky, where it's like first come, first serve, and then when we're out until the next year. Pell Grant's always been replenished. That bucket is never ending, theoretically.
Right, right. And so this change caused a shortfall, and I think we already were kind of in a shortfall. And then they put us into even more, and so then here came this continuing resolution. What it means to you, listener, all 32 of you, is there could be more delays.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Because if we're looking at, we're 1 week out from telling everybody, you know, here's your process FAFSA, here's your SAI. If we don't know today, is the floor a negative 1,500? Is the floor infinite? Or is the floor going to change one way or another? How can you determine eligibility if you don't even know what the lowest SAI possible is? And so that's kind of the discussion right now is this going to cause even more delays with the rolling out of the ICERS, the processing, packaging, et cetera, and so forth?
You know, we talk a lot about mid-March, and at no point at any juncture of this stuff since the FAFSA has been open for this cycle have they said that in mid-March you're going to get your aid packages from the college. All they've said is that it'll be processed by mid-March, and some of these errors that we keep seeing will hopefully be resolved
out,
by
right.
mid-March. So that would be like our baseline of when the colleges will potentially start to see what they need to see to package aid, but it's going to take them a minute to decipher through all this and sort through that mess. And, you know, all I can say is just be patient on getting that aid package because we keep looking at this date. I would say for the folks who are in a situation where you were able to get to the finish line, you submitted a FAFSA, that mid-March date is crucial because that's your opportunity to go back in and make your corrections and updates. But beyond that, it's still going to be some waiting before you're going to hear something back about, okay, basically the fruit of that labor of doing the FAFSA this year.
This is what you're eligible
for. Nobody has ever said, come mid-March, you're going to know, here's how much money you have for college.
Right. And I want to make that abundantly clear because mid-March is said all the time, but it's going to take these institutions time to process these ICERS, to create an aid package for you, and to get that out to you. It's just going to take time.
Yeah.
And if presumably you're getting a million, you know, what if the first batch is a million?
Right.
And all these institutions are flooded with these ICERS, it's going to take time, you know. And then additionally, the institutions use software programs to build their packages. The software programs have to update as they go. If something changes last minute with the SAI floor or whatever, they've got to update that software and test it before it can do anything for the institutions. So, I mean, it's a whole it's a domino effect. It's a process. And I just feel like we'll see additional delays. I hope we don't.
Right.
But I think we will.
I think it's worth noting that, you know, when mid-March does get here, it's a month and a half from the National College Decision Date.
Yep.
Of May 1st. So, I don't know. We might still be comparing some stuff a little bit after May 1st.
Far after May 1st. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I definitely think this timeline's going into the summer.
Yeah.
We're going to be in our swim trunks.
And I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to have to be a two-way street. I think colleges will, you know, as we keep saying, you know, from a student and family's perspective, be patient with colleges. I think colleges are going to have to be patient with families as well to get to that final financial decision that makes the best sense for them.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, because they've been in the dark this whole time.
Yeah.
That's a lot, Keith.
It is.
That's a lot for March 8th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:40.
Yeah.
Where has the day gone? 2:40 in the afternoon.
March 7th.
Did I say 8th?
March 8th is
it's already the tomorrow.
Scheduled maintenance day.
Scheduled maintenance day. In my mind, it's already tomorrow. That's right. That's right. I'm just ready to move on to the At the End of the Day podcast.
Yeah.
Real ready. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And so here's my suggestion. Here's my recommendation to you. Let's call it a day. Let's give these people a rest from our lovely voices. And next time on episode 8, am I right about that? March 7th, March 8th, episode 7, episode 8, episode 6.
You nailed it.
Episode 8. We're going to talk to you about initiatives happening in the spring here in the world of Kia. We're not going to make you sit through that today. But it's riveting, so come back to us. And... on location. My producers are like, don't forget to say we're going on location. Scooch over.
Yeah.
if you didn't listen to the first couple episodes, you don't get that joke. Okay, so big news in the Coffee with Kia podcast world.
Yeah. We're taking this show on the road.
We're taking this show on the road, y'all. Next week, for the first time ever, Coffee with Kia is going on location to Kentucky ACAC. Okay, so Kentucky ACAC is hosting its annual conference next week in the fine hometown of a one Miss Cassie Benedict, Owensboro, Kentucky.
That's right.
So our lovely producers are going to come with us. They are going to... We're not riding together. I draw the line somewhere. It's in my rider. Zach was like, my life has been spared. I'm not a good driver. They are going to meet us in Owensboro on location at the Kentucky Admission Counselors.
I knew you're going to look at me for that.
What? No, the Kentucky Association for College Admissions Counselors Conference.
There you go.
The power
of one. Man, I'm glad you came up with that. That's going to take me about 45
minutes. yes, so we will be at the conference. Our team will be there for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Zach and Lene, our producers, are going to meet us there on Thursday, and we will have the very special guest, Stephanie Dickerson, who is the president of Kentucky ACAC.
Yeah.
Joining us, we're going to ask her all the hard questions. We're going to ask her about college admissions. We're going to ask her about Kentucky ACAC. We're going to ask her how she's doing after she just planned this big old conference. I'm going to ask her if she thinks I can get out of planning the conference. No, I'm joking. I'm planning a conference in April, and we're going on location there too, Keith.
Yeah.
That's the CASFA conference. That's the financial aid conference.
Yeah. Kentucky Association for Student Financial Aid Administrators.
Right? You got it. Ding, ding, ding. So, we're taking the show on the road. March, we'll have it on location filming. April, we'll have it on location filming. I think we can get these fine folks to come to Chicago with us.
I don't know.
That'd be a pretty big ask.
Yeah.
But we're doing, they're like, we're in.
Yeah.
But we are doing some exciting things in the world of Coffee with Kia. And so, keep listening. Keep tuning in. We want to tell you all about these initiatives. we've just had a very long day. And so we're gonna close up today, inviting you to come on the road with us at Kentucky ACAC, where the coffee is flowing and the admission staff is abundant. I got nothing. I don't know where I was
going
with
that. That's as good as I can come up with. Yep.
No, I don't know. Yeah. And the barbecue is not made of ketchup.
There you go.
Owensboro, barbecue capital of the world, self-proclaimed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need barbecue. But I do know it doesn't have ketchup in it. Okay.
It's a vinegar stuff, right? It's like a vinegar base?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Either way. I mean, I'll eat it.
It just doesn't have ketchup in it.
Okay. Right on.
I don't know. I know nothing about barbecue. Okay. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for bearing with us during this podcast. All right. We'll see you next week on location at Kentucky ACAC. And until then, Kia later. I love it.
Oh, good grief. Ha 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 ha.